This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our journey through the Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation, with the first three bowls of wrath, bowls 4, 5, and 6, the seventh bowl, the great prostitute, and the mystery of the woman and the beast. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
It is something that students of the Bible have noticed for centuries. On the face of it, just in a cursory reading of St. Paul next to the author of the book of James, there seems to be a contradiction. Not just a small contradiction, but one that really is rather consequential, if it is, in fact, a contradiction. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to answer the question, do Paul and James disagree on justification? Dr. Curtis Giese joins us. He's professor of religion at Concordia University, Texas, New Testament editor of the Concordia Commentary Series, author of the Concordia Commentary on James, and a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Defining Terms. Dr. Giese, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you once again.
What is at stake if the Bible actually contradicts itself on the doctrine of justification by grace through faith alone?
If the Bible were to contradict itself, that might bring into question the inspiration and inerrancy of Holy Scripture and also the accuracy of the teaching and justification. I appreciate this edition of the Lutheran Witness that goes into the apparent tensions of sacred Scripture. And the authors deal with matters such as how the baptism of Jesus is presented, and also Old Testament, New Testament connections. And I had the honor being asked to speak about Paul and James on justification as well. And in that edition, it's also brought up this important article by William Arendt. And he speaks about when Christians encounter parts of Scripture that appear to be in tension with each other, it's important to look a little bit more closely, and indeed those are resolved. And as it pertains to the teachings of Paul and James on justification, one needs to look at the terms and how they are used and see that they're indeed complementary and not contradictory to each other.
In a nutshell, how do the Apostle Paul and James appear to contradict one another on justification?
As the Apostle Paul typically speaks about justification, he emphasizes that one is saved, brought to faith in Christ by grace. That gift is received through faith, excluding any human works, excluding any human deeds. As James uses the term, he includes deeds in one's justification. So at a surface look at these two applications, these descriptions of justification, they appear to be in tension with each other.
What does Paul teach about justification?
That especially appears in the books of Romans and Galatians. He emphasizes a scriptural teaching of justification. It's by grace through faith, apart from any human works. And a significant section that speaks about is in Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 21. It's there that Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." And just a little bit later in the chapter, in verse 28, Paul also states very succinctly, he says, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." In this way, Paul explains in these texts that justification is a declaration by God in which he grants a righteous status to a lost sinner by the saving work of Christ. And again, this is a gift that's received through faith apart from any human works. And as Paul goes on to explain, even faith cannot be claimed as a human work that earns salvation before God, but rather the faith's benefit involves what receives rather than anything it contributes to a righteous status before God. So as Paul explains justification, all human works are excluded. Paul emphasizes that this is one's regeneration that is being brought from death to life as a child of God through the means of grace. So as Paul articulates justification, he emphasizes it is a gracious act, a declaration by God by which he grants a righteous status to a lost sinner, applied the work of Christ to us through the means of grace.
How then does James use that word justification?
Well, James also readily uses that term justification, but in his description of this doctrine, he differs from Paul in that he does include human deeds. James says in chapter 2 of his epistle, he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone." So in this way, James has a description of justification that includes human deeds.
I have, in my study of this, have suspected that James is using the word justification slightly differently than Paul is using the word justification.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. So at initial glance, it might appear that these two inspired authors may seem to be in tension with each other. Yeah, how can one description of justification vehemently exclude works and one include deeds at the same time? And again, here that article by William Arndt is helpful, how sometimes scriptural terms may refer to different things, may have different applications. And upon a closer examination of the context, the usage of Paul and James, that's indeed the case. James indeed has a declarative use of justify, but he doesn't refer to one's initial conversion to faith or one's regeneration, where the merits of Christ are first applied to a person and exclude human works. Now, in other places in the epistle, James vehemently declares that one is saved by grace as an act of God. So he very clearly proclaims the gospel by which one is saved as an act of God. This is, for example, in the beautiful text in James chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. There James says, "Every gracious act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change or a shadow cast by variation." And then verse 18, "In accordance with his will, he gave birth to us by the word of truth, so we are a kind of first fruits of his new creation." So in this beautiful gospel text, James emphasizes God as the giving God, all our good gifts from him. And then in verse 18 especially, the gift of salvation is totally an act of his initiative, his will, and it's a gift by which we're brought from death to life. It's that gave us new birth by that gospel, that is by the word of truth, and we are also connected to Christ's resurrection, both his death and resurrection, so we're kind of first fruits of his new creation. So in this text and other beautiful gospel texts of James, he very much emphasizes and proclaims that one is saved, that one's regeneration is a gift of God, where the merits of Christ are applied to us, and it's an act of God, not by any of our merit. But then subsequently, when James speaks about justification, he has a different application of the word. He describes justification as a subsequent validation by grace of a true faith that becomes apparent through actions. So this subsequent verdict of righteousness validates the genuineness of the faith that was given at baptism, that was given at regeneration, as that faith manifests itself in deeds. It's important to look at the context in which both Paul and James used these terms. Paul is writing to a situation where some individuals are falsely trying to insert human merit into our righteous status before God and being brought to faith in Christ and being saved. James is writing to a context where individuals are saying that faith can exist apart from deeds, that deeds don't necessarily follow faith. So they are writing different situations, and they use different applications of that word justify. Again, Paul is speaking about one's regeneration, conversion to faith, whereas James uses it as a subsequent validation of one's faith as that becomes apparent in one's deeds.
So you use the word validation. I've used the word vindication, that the claim to have faith is vindicated by the subsequent deeds.
Yeah, it is a demonstration of the gifts given at baptism, and that becomes apparent in one's deeds.
You say that Jesus himself speaks in a similar way to James. How so?
Well, think, for example, of Jesus' description of the final judgment in Matthew 25, where he describes the sheep and the goats. How does one recognize their identity? Their respective identities become apparent in their actions and their deeds, as the sheep respond to situations where they saw an individual, Jesus, in need, without food, without clothing, and they respond in good deeds. So they demonstrate their identity, that they are recipients of the kingdom before eternity, and that becomes apparent in their actions. So Jesus very much speaks in a similar way to James, that the existence of faith is necessarily demonstrated by one's good deeds that flow from faith.
Dr. Curtis Gacy is our guest. He's professor of religion at Concordia University, Texas, and author of the Concordia Commentary on James. We're answering the question, do Paul and James disagree on justification? Does Paul elsewhere affirm that true faith is vindicated or evidenced by good works?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our journey through the Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation, with the first three bowls of wrath, bowls 4, 5, and 6, the seventh bowl, the great prostitute, and the mystery of the woman and the beast. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Outreach is more than hosting community events and hoping that they stick. Effective outreach helps people move from congregational visitors to committed members and disciples of Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. Find out more about this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Meaningful Outreach, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Christ's life, his death, his resurrection shapes our lives as his servant.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
We are the disciples. We are his servants.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Do Paul and James disagree on justification? We're answering that question with Dr. Curtis Gacy. He's author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Defining Terms. Does Paul elsewhere affirm that true faith is vindicated or evidenced by good works, Dr. Giese?
Oh, definitely he does. In Harmony with James, he declares the necessity of deeds that flow from faith. Significant portions of Romans include this, Romans 3 through 4, 6 through 8, or for example, in Ephesians 2:10, that we are saved for the purpose of doing good works, or Titus chapter 3, but especially like to point to Romans 2:13, where Paul uses that subsequent application of justification, that subsequent usage of justification. It's there in Romans 2:13, where Paul says, "It is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." There, Paul uses that same application of justification as James does as well. So we see affirmed here these two different reference of the same term, and Paul affirms both usages. But again, Paul is, in most his description of justification, speaking about one's conversion or regeneration, and James is speaking about that subsequent validation or vindication, as you say. And both Paul and Jesus speak in similar ways as well, that deeds necessarily flow from faith, which James emphasizes to his context.
Do our Lutheran confessions acknowledge these two different ways of using the word justification in Scripture?
Oh, definitely. For example, on the Augsburg Confession, Article 4, so clearly states what Paul typically proclaims about justification. There in Article 4, it says, "Our churches also teach that men cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works, but are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith when they believe they are received into favor, and that their sins are forgiven on account of Christ, who by his death made satisfaction for our sins. This faith God imputes for righteousness in his sight." Indeed, in many places in the Lutheran confessions, it emphasizes this understanding of Paul that one's justification excludes human deeds, one being brought into the family of God. One's regeneration is totally a gift that is received through faith, and the Lutheran confessions so clearly proclaim and confess that truth. But also, the Lutheran confessions affirm what James says about that subsequent use of the word justification, that subsequent validation of the gifts given in baptism. I really do appreciate Melanchthon in his Apology of the Augsburg Confession. He has a very long section expounding upon James and how James affirms the understanding of Scripture about deeds necessarily flowing from that faith and that additional use of justification. There in the Apology, Article 4, Melanchthon says, "Since this faith is a new life, it necessarily produces new impulses and new works. Accordingly, James is correct in denying that we are justified by a faith without works. When he says we are justified by faith and works, he certainly does not mean that we are regenerated by works, nor does he say that our propitiation is due in part to Christ and in part to our works, nor does he describe the manner of justification, but only the nature of the just who have already been justified and reborn. To be justified here does not mean that a wicked man is made righteous, but he is pronounced righteous in a forensic way, just as in the passage, Romans 2:13, the doers of the law will be justified," end quote of the Apology. So the Lutheran confessions also confess and very much emphasize the accuracy of both of these usages of the word justification as they particularly become apparent in Paul and in James.
Finally then, how then do Paul and James actually agree?
They both agree, as mentioned, that one's regeneration, being brought to faith in Christ, is totally a gift that excludes one's works. I'd read that text from James chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. There, James clearly states that it is a gift of God through Jesus Christ, totally an act of God's will, his initiative, gift of new birth through the means of grace. And a beautiful part of that gift, as James says, we are part of the first fruits of his new creation. And Paul emphasized that as well, though we're also baptized into Christ's resurrection. So both inspired authors emphasize, proclaim that we are saved as a gift. But both James and Paul also emphasize that deeds by necessity flow from the gifts given in baptism, that deeds are necessary fruits that come from faith. And James and also Paul use that term justification in a subsequent way that speak about those good deeds by which people can see that we are part of the family of God.
Dr. Curtis Giese is professor of religion at Concordia University, Texas. He's New Testament editor of the Concordia Commentary Series, author of the Concordia Commentary on James, and a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Defining Terms. You can purchase the Concordia Commentary on James by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or online at cph.org. Dr. Giese, thanks.
Thank you. An honor to be with you again.
So, do James and Paul actually agree on how a man is declared righteous? Absolutely. They don't only agree on that, they also agree that such faith is proven by works. They also agree that faith alone saves and faith alone produces good works. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Are you looking for a quality Christian high school education in the Lutheran tradition? Then Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois is your answer. We are continuing to accept applications and registrations for incoming ninth grade students and transfers for the 22-23 school year. For more information, please check out our website at melhs.org or call the school office and ask for me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.